Eveen and Company with Eveen Ihoilewan on RTE Radio 1.
Good morning. I'm in the company of traditional singer and musician Muireann McCauley and her father Fergal, who is a fiddle player. Fergal is originally from Dublin. Muireann was born in Inishere, but they've made their home in Dunqueen in County Kerry. Music connects them to the community of West Kerry, and that music has been a constant thread in both of their lives. I've been listening to Muireann on my iPod for years and to her latest album, The Small Hours. So it's with particular pleasure that I welcome you and your dad to the Radio na Gaeltacht studio in Ballinungal.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful place. For listeners who've never driven that road towards Ballinungal, can you describe the landscape?
The Dingle Peninsula is kind of as close as you can get to an island without actually being an island, in the sense that the sea is all around you. So when you're driving over here to Ballinungal, we passed the Blasket Islands this morning, and luckily enough, we were fortunate enough to be able to see them this morning. Isn't that right, Dad? Sometimes they're hidden.
Yeah.
For the poor tourists, it's like a lucky dip whether you get to see them or not. But even in bad weather, it's a dramatic and beautiful and inspiring place to live in.
But generations of school students would be familiar with Dunqueen because of Peg's writing. So has it changed much, do you think, from then?
Oh my goodness, it's changed so, so much. But it's funny because for us, growing up in Dunqueen, we read that book in primary school. Our school was quite an amazing little National School, Scoil Chun Chuin, Scoil Neamh Gobnach, and we had a wonderful teacher, Micheál Ó Dualaithne, who brought out all the magic in those stories for us.
And Fergal, you're from Dublin and you began visiting this area as a boy. Why did you start coming here, and why was it such a special place for you?
Well, I started coming here as a young lad in Newbridge College, and it was Father Tygo Mainley who brought us down on the first trip. He would be an uncle now of Liam, of the Hothouse Flowers.
Oh, yes.
That was the beginning of my connection with the place, in a sense, even though we had a lady from Dunqueen working with my family when we were growing up, and she gave us the blast of the Gaeilge as well.
And was it the language or the music that drew you to the area, Fergal?
Oh, I suppose it was the language. Well, when you say drew me to the area, we were sent. And then the main connection then was the music after that, language.
Why were you sent? Was it for the Gaeltacht?
Oh, yes, of course, yeah. It was early days of Coláiste de Sáurig. Tygo Mainley only had one rule: Gael and Alaort. After that,
we've got with Elicata, everything else allowed.
So once you spoke Irish, it didn't matter what else you did.
It was here I started smoking and started playing poker. The drink came later.
Oh dear.
But I made connections with the local musicians at that stage, and we remained lifelong friends then.
Can I ask you about the musicians that you did meet in Dunqueen? Because you played classical music at home.
Well, I didn't play much classical. I learnt classical, put it that way. But in Belvedere, I suppose the main influence on me there was a Jesuit by the name of Barney Cullen, who had set up a Cayley band. And that was my first introduction to Irish music. And that took me over at that point. Later on, when I went to Newbridge, then I got to know various people involved in the music, particularly the Rinn family, and Andy Rinn was one of my best mates in Newbridge, and he would be connected to Christy Moore and all of that clan, and we'd have the odd escapade off to Prosperous or some place like that.
Escaping.
Sometimes legal, sometimes illegal.
And
another schoolmate was Donald Lunny then, of course.
Oh, yes.
And there was a great creativity in Newbridge as well, where it encouraged individual creative ideas and music, and it was a great time.
Did the music mean that you could get to know people in West Kerry instead of just being a tourist down from Dublin?
Oh, absolutely. Great intro. That's why you see so many people carrying bowrons.
Well, I mean, music crosses all boundaries, and that's the great thing about traditional music as well, even as you know yourself, is that you can sit in with people you may never have met before, and by the end of the night you're firm friends, and it's a common language. You know, it doesn't matter what generation you come from, what country you come from, Irish music just transcends all that.
And would you say that your community is drawn together through that music?
Well, it's definitely a very much a living, breathing part of the community here. It's never been a thing here that has needed to be revived from the dead as such. It's continued. So there's that continuum there, which is very important. And it's not just the music, it's the song is so healthy here as well. And everyone, whether they're musicians or not, would have a good knowledge of it and a good respect for it. And there's very few people who wouldn't have a song. Isn't that right, Dad? Mm-hmm. Nearly everyone would have a song, you know.
What would your song be, Fergal?
Skibbereen.
Which I learned from a musician in Doon Queen, actually. Dolly, Mauricio Dolly, box player, who was a great companion for music for many years. Skibbereen Os Gaeilge, that is. Sinéan Fá, Vic Magrog, or Regis and Skibbereen.
That comes out at the end of the night, even. You know it's been a good night now if that comes out.
And Mairean, when you came home with your husband and your daughter, and we'll talk about them later on, you decided to record a new album, but to have songs from the locality.
Moving home put me back in touch with the whole place and the music of the area and gave me a great sense of place, and I wanted that to come across in the album. I was ready to lay down some songs. I had been gathering them for a while, but I was missing a kind of an up-tempo, light-hearted song, which can be very important to have as well, just to lend a bit of balance, you know. And then a lovely woman called Courtney Rain came to visit me, and she had done a project on the area and had discovered a great song called An Húrach Leanún, about the very house that we're living in now, which is an old restored cottage, which it turns out used to be a shebeen back in the day, which is an unlicensed premises and by all accounts a bit of a party house. So we were delighted to hear that, of course. Just the thrill of singing a song about the place you live and just knowing that where you live had such a fantastic history and great vibes in the house too, you know.
That's lovely, because it means the fair cow, doesn't it?
It does. It means the fair-haired or the fair-skinned cow, but it's like so many Irish songs, the milk of the cow is the metaphor for illegal alcohol.
And you only had the words of it though, so how did you manage to bring a tune in?
The lyrics came first, yes, and then I was looking for the melody, and from what I could tell from people, it was a shared melody, which happens a lot, where the song would share a melody with a couple of other songs. So it was quite a well-known air that would have been used for songs like On Cruiscín Lán as well. So I just wanted to try something different with it, which I rarely do really, but we gave it a go, and I was trying to write some music for it and getting nowhere fast. But fortunately enough, my good friend Gerry O'Byrne, who I'm so lucky to play with and who's a great songwriter, took it on and gave it a beautiful melody, one that is so unique and different that only Gerry can accompany me on this one.
Wonderful. Well, I'm looking forward to listening to it. And you'll have to tell me how to pronounce it again, Mairean, because I think it's a different, I don't know how. An Húrach Leanún, is that correct?
An Húrach Leanún, perfect even, yeah.
Would you mind singing it for me now? And Gerry might accompany you in the guitar as well.
Yeah, we'll give it a go for you.
Okay, here we go.
Wow, Vishu Shin, go haulin ar fad. And that song appears in your latest album, The Small Hours, Mairean. You're a lovely whistle player, but I have to say, you're just a beautiful singer. Fergal, when did you first spot that your daughter could not only sing, but had a really, really special voice?
Before she could talk.
Was she singing from the time she could crawl?
She was. And she was playing the whistle inside in the playpen. But I suppose Dun Quinn was the biggest influence in the end. How old were you when you came here?
Oh, I was about eight.
Eight, yeah. So right plonk into the middle of Skull Dun Quinn. And Mairean mentioned Michal O'Delania, Bannach Déile. He was fantastic for getting the kids to be creative and sing and act and play music and the whole lot. So it was taken as part of life.
That's lovely. Yeah. Mm. But Fergal, it would have been a very different story if you had remained a priest in America. But by a roundabout route, West Kerry and music actually brought you in contact with Áine Moynihan, who's your beautiful wife. So tell me, when did you first lay eyes on Áine?
Well, as you say, it was a circuitous route. I went to the States as an ordained priest and later returned to Ireland via Limerick and Dublin. And it was when I was in Dublin that I got involved again in music. There was a young group of musicians in the parish I was in around the Drimna area who were very proficient musicians.
And you were still a priest, you know, involved in all of this dramatics and music.
Well, no, I wasn't involved in the dramatics at this stage, but I was involved in the music. But it was at that stage I got a call from Paddy O'Malone, who would be a grandson of Antalánach, a Dunquin man again. He had written a play based on The Island Man, and it was being put on at the Peacock Theatre. So he asked me to put the music together for that with the group, so we did that. And it was on stage that I was smitten then by this actress, Áine Moynihan.
Well, I've seen photos of her. You know, she's a very lovely and lively woman. Actually, she looks quite like you, Mirren, but, you know, was it love at first sight, Fergal, or what was it that struck you about this woman?
Well, the first communication we had, she came over and said, "Has anyone got a light?"
She did not. She'll kill you for saying that. She's so anti-smoking. I can't even believe she ever said that.
Yeah, but no one is as pure, you know. But anyway.
No, but she struck you. No, was she, you know, was she a catalyst for you wanting to leave? Or?
I suppose, possibly, yes. There were lots of things building up at the time. I mean, I came in under Vatican II, full of hopes and... As was everybody in my group, and as were even professors and so forth, and we're all expecting great changes and whatnot. But Vatican II took a nosedive.
At the time, it must have been, you know, huge for a priest and a beautiful looking woman to get
scandal.
Together. Absolute scandal.
I suppose so. Yeah, scandal. But love conquers all, as they say, and it was difficult in some areas to kind of relate again, shall we say, on the ground. Not so down here in Kerry, even though I had trepidation about coming back down again because I had said Mass down here in various of the churches around and so forth. But again, Paddy Malone came to the rescue there and brought me down along with his good wife, Lil. And I think Áine came on that trip too, as far as I remember. She did, yes. And we never looked back.
People were
fantastic.
How did your family react to you leaving the
priesthood? That was another story. Indeed, my mother was fantastic. In fact, welcomed Áine immediately. My father was a slower operation. But then when he did meet Áine, that was the end of that.
the only remainder of it even really was that I became known as Anina Thoggart down here.
The daughter of the priest.
Yes.
That was your nickname.
That was her first claim to fame.
before we came
down here, I should say that we first went to settle in Ballygib in County Meath, which again was Kerry people from Dunquin mainly, in the area we lived in. Mm-hmm. So again, was Kerry connections there, and we got to know all that community and had a wonderful time with them, and it was there we married.
And, but you didn't marry for a while, Fergal, because...
No, it took a couple of years to get that through because Pope Paul II.
Yeah. And why did it take so long for you to be
dispensed? Oh, he was totally against giving dispensations to anyone. It was once a priest, always a priest, which we agree with, but all we wanted was permission to marry. That didn't stop us being a priest.
Would you have stayed a priest if that were at all a possibility? Like, do you still consider yourself a priest, Fergal?
Ah, I wouldn't now, no, no.
You can give the last rites. If you're in an emergency situation.
I suppose I can. The only one looking for them be myself at this point. But yeah, in theory, I suppose it's correct. But I have different ideas about things now. You know, I think priesthood should be... A priest should be selected by the community, I think, and work within it. Something along the lines of the Presbyterians, where they select their minister and he's chosen by the people.
Mm. And so even if you hadn't met Áine, do you think you would have left?
Oh, possibly, I suppose so, yeah.
Mm. And can you remember the last day that you had as a priest then? Was it important, the last Mass you gave, say?
Well, it was certainly important going around and saying farewell to the other priests in my parish at the time. There were seven priests, would you believe, at that time?
Parish
priests, six curates, yeah. And I went around to them all and said goodbye to them. Two of them said to me they wish they had the courage to do the same.
Oh, really? Mm.
So we took off from there anyway, and we, our first place where we settled was Ballygibb, as I say. And from there, we moved on then to Inishere, where I became manager of the co-op out there in Inishere in the Aran Islands. Áine was great support in that because we set up a weaving industry.
And was that important to you to have to build that industry in the very small island community of Inishere?
It was, but there was remnants of it there before we came. The islanders had been weaving, and there was one permanent weaver left by the time we arrived with the loom inside in his house. And I remember bringing him into the... We got an old Coast Guard station and set up six looms inside in that, and the weavers were working away, and I remember the old weaver came in and he sat into the loom and started throwing the shuttle from right to left, and he said, "Tommy Bjorisht."
Oh, isn't that lovely? He felt alive again at the loom.
And
I'm sure it was idyllic growing up on Inishere.
My only memories of Inishere really are of running down the steps of the garden and straight onto the beach. And God knows that must have put the heart crossways on Mum and Dad in the morning when I had disappeared. But we spent another few years then in Cape Clear as well. And that was, again, idyllic, so safe for children and such a great sense of community and just like an extended family, really.
And
it was in Cape then that our son was born, Malachy, and that was a great event, and it was a great event in the community. I remember well that coming back into the island, because he was born down in Cork Hospital, of course, and coming back onto the island that stage, the whole community was down to welcome us ashore again. Mm. So that was fantastic.
Very close community.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Warren, do you look up to your parents for being so brave in their youth in making this huge decision and then moving, you know, to the Gaeltacht area?
The older I get, the more I can appreciate what they did and how I appreciate especially how much that affected Malachy and I in terms of our upbringing and in a way, they sacrificed a lot and gave up a lot. You know, my mother had a great career going in Dublin as an actress, and maybe growing up in Dublin would have led to a very different life for me. But as it turned out, where Mal and I were raised has really influenced what we do now and who we are so much. I can't imagine it being any other way, you know.
And Malachy shares an interest with your mother, Áine, in theatre, Muireann, but you kind of have more of an interest in the music with your dad. How is it that you were kind of drawn to that side of things?
I can't remember not playing and not singing. I mean, it's like asking, when did you learn to talk or when did you become interested in walking? It's just been always there. And I suppose the house was always full of music. And outside the house as well. So wherever we were, there was music to be heard. And my grandmother was an absolute character, but she was full of music. She played and sang, and there was music on my mother's side of the family as well. It's just never not been there. And I have a little smallie at home now, and she's the very same even. I mean, it's just, you know, when you have it only of on, like from the very beginning, it's just very natural, you know, which it's a lovely way to learn music.
But was that an important bond with you then, Muireann, if you're going to these sessions regularly with your dad? Like, was that important to your father-daughter relationship, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
No, they didn't kind of look at it that way.
No.
only when someone asks you an awkward question like that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It was just every Friday night. And God, I mean, when I think about it now, I mean, I was young enough going to those sessions, I would have been 10 or 11, and sometimes there wasn't a seat for me. I remember sitting on a
bag of spuds,
a bag of coal, whatever. But people were very kind and they allowed me to play away. And I'm sure half the time I wasn't playing very well, but you know, that's what it was all about.
That's
any
lovely.
Of that carry on now would be considered illegal these days, I suppose.
Oh. I'm not sure.
They've brought in so many rules and regulations that particular session and many others like it have been wiped out, you know.
I think what you see a lot now as well is a session made up of just young people or a session made up of older people. There was a great kind of a mix and gatherum of every sort of person back then. Mm-hmm. And you still get it the odd time, and that's what really makes a great night, you know, a bit of everything. Yeah.
And is there a special bond when people from the same family, even though they're different generations, when they play together? Do you think that you can feel that in the music?
Well, you can. You know where we're going. We know where each is going. You know that sort of thing.
30 plus years of rehearsals.
And would you mind playing a few tunes now?
Lovely.
Lovely. So what would you like to play?
We're going to play a couple of polkas for you. The first one is called Polka Cholig, is it, Dad? And
that's
then
right.
On Tourmore is the second one then.
Yeah.
And they're great and tunes, particular to this locality.
And okay, so Muireann, you're going to be on the flute and Fergal on the fiddle. And Fergal, can you tell me where you got your fiddle?
My fiddle was my grandfather's on my father's side. And he bought it from a soldier coming back from the Boer War. The soldier had come through Belgium and had bought the fiddle there. So I assumed it was a Belgian fiddle until I went to Paris one year and brought it into a valuer there. And he said it was in fact a Paris fiddle. And the date is inside it, 1897.
I love that.
So it's over the 100 years old.
That's my inheritance even.
Absolutely. Mm. Fergal, how is it that you were chosen to inherit the fiddle from your grandfather?
My father was from Fermoy, and visiting the grandmother there, and I saw this fiddle and I said, gosh, I'd like to be able to play that. And brought it back up and I've had it since.
And what age were you when this happened?
Oh, about 5, I think.
Oh my God. So you were very young when you decided you wanted to play fiddle.
Yeah.
All right, Liv. What was it like living on islands, Muireann?
It's like the island is a world of its own, you know, and then the mainland was like another planet that you visited occasionally. You just felt completely self-contained. The community was more like a family, you know, because people depend on each other so much more than you would anywhere else. And you just have to get so self-sufficient as well, don't you? And able to cope with things that come along. And I see it now in Dad, because anytime something breaks down, you can buzz the Dad and he'll know how to fix it. Because, you had to figure these things
out.
It
sounds lovely, you know? And kind of safe and secure. Yeah. Was it hard then to move to the mainland?
Well, there's pros and cons for and against everything, as the fella said.
Moving to Dunquin, of all places, is probably the closest you could get to moving to an island whilst living on the mainland.
And then, you see, Anya and myself both were familiar with the area here anyway, so it wasn't a big wrench.
But you felt like a blow-in, Fergal, did you, for a while?
Oh, I still do.
He still is. We
absolutely.
All are. Yeah.
That goes without saying.
And Muireann, are you a local now, would you say?
Oh, I wouldn't say completely, no.
But your own daughter, she'll be a local of this area.
She will. I thought, God, she was practically born in the Conor Pass, so that's...
Tell me about that, because she was quite premature.
She was very early, 9 weeks early.
Must have been an incredible shock.
Huge shock. It's funny because that chapter was in the book and I skipped that chapter and thought, well, that's not going to happen anyway. Do you know the way you'd be so sure of things? It was such a huge life lesson to me, who always had things very planned out and organised and very much in control of, you know, when you're self-employed and you're travelling and you're creating your own work, you know, everything is very, you know, crossing the T's and dotting the I's and all that. And then the rug was just totally pulled out from under me and from both of us, you know, for a bill as well. It was a massive shock. And thankfully, she had no lasting effects of her early arrival, but we had an extended period of time in the neonatal hospital in Limerick then as well, Worth Sive. So she was there for about 6 weeks.
That must have been a very hard time. If she was in intensive care, were you able to pick her up? Were you able to hold her?
Initially, very little. You were just allowed to put your hand through. And it was all, that whole period of time is very much, I remember the smell of the hand disinfectant, you know, because everything had to be so clean all the time.
And you didn't feel like she was your own, you know, because you're always asking, can I hold her? Can I touch her? As good as the nurses were, they were amazing, but it takes a little bit longer to bond than...
She's certainly bonded since.
She has, and there's no stopping her now.
And Fergal, what was it like watching Muireann through this time? Because it was obviously very stressful for her, but, you know, you're watching her go through it. How did it make you feel?
Well, I'm madly concerned, of course, and... However, that being said, I mean, when the incident occurred, I had the dinner ready, you see. And I
said, you were in the house?
I was in the house, you see.
Oh,
and I said, come on, dinner. And suddenly herself and Anya had to take off for Tralee or into the doctor in Dingle.
It was actually, you don't remember this, you drove us into Dingle to the ambulance. That was some drive. Right. I thought we were going to end up in the sea.
That's right.
This is a fairly windy road at the best of times.
And the ambulance went from there, yeah. But it's an exciting time. I mean, it's part of nature and all that sort of thing, but everything worked out and
thankfully.
Here we go again.
And here we go again. Because you're expecting at the moment.
I am. It took a while to build up the courage to go again after that shock, but we've passed the age or the gestation that Si was born, so I'm starting to breathe a bit easier.
The very best of luck.
Thank you.
Si was then a big part of you making the decision to move back here to Dunquin.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's only now, looking back at what I had growing up, I realise how unusual that was, and how lucky I was, and how much I wanted Si to have as close to that as is possible. So once she came along, I felt a bit of a rush on to get her up sticks and move back down. And thankfully, my husband, who's from Limerick, was of the same mindset.
Great.
Even though it means he lectures in Limerick, so he travels a good bit, but it's worth it, and he's willing to make that sacrifice. So.
And does Si like the music that she's surrounded by?
Oh, mad about it. Oh, crikey. Yeah, it's totally...
And Muireann, do you sing to her?
I sing to her so much. I didn't realise how much I was singing to her until she started to speak and started to request songs.
Oh.
And then I realised not only had I been singing a lot, but they had all gone into the little mind, and she knows them all and she can babble them back to me. So at night when I put her down, it's kind of like a mini concert. We generally have to sing 8 or 9 different songs, and there's a fade out that I have to do down the stairs. You can't just stop.
That's gorgeous.
And I might be downstairs having a cup of tea, and a while later she'll yell down one more song request and I'll have to sing it up the stairs at her.
That just sounds absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, she's gas.
Would you sing one of those lullabies for us now?
Yeah, I'd love to, yeah. Yeah. This is one called Shaheen Shaho, and a song that I had been singing for a couple of years before she came along, but made a hell of a lot more sense after her arrival.
Lovely. And that was absolutely beautiful, and what a lullaby to have on a Sunday morning. Thank you so much. Gerry O'Byrne has been accompanying Muireann this morning on the radio, and Muireann is going to sing one of Gerry's song, Western Highway, which actually happens to be one of my own favourite songs as well. Gerry, can you tell me about it?
Well, it's a song that came really easily, and it's just what it seems to be. It's a love song, and I wrote it when I was living in California and doing a lot, as I've done for years, really, a lot of driving and travelling and being on the road. But it was a song that came so naturally, and musically it's kind of a very, I think, true expression of what I do in music.
Jerry, is it difficult for you, though, as a singer-songwriter, to give up your song to a different artist?
Actually, no. The first time I heard somebody sing one of my songs, it was a very strange, almost a fractured feeling. And then you just bloody get over it. And then eventually you just enjoy it.
And Muireann, why do you like this song, Western Highway?
All those years on the road and the touring, I used to find myself humming that song whilst sitting in the tour bus or in the van or wherever we were. Here I am again on the road again. And it just rang so true. And even now that we're home, because Ger and I didn't play that song for a while, and now we've started to play it again a little bit. And the song began, and then in the end I was standing by the sea, and it just makes complete sense, you know.
Lovely. Well, I'm really looking forward to hearing it now.
From the mountains to the sea, and there's a song on the Western Highway that's saying I will be free.
I absolutely adore that song, and thank you so much for singing it for me. Muireann, your own husband, Billy, does he play music as well?
He does. That's how I met him as well. So many musicians visit Dingle, and when Bill was, he was only 17 at the time, he came down with his djembe drum, which has since been lost somewhere. He now plays the bouzouki. He's a great bouzouki player. But he came into a session. I was playing at the Drogheda. I was 18 and he was 17. Can you believe it? And we're still hanging around together all this time later. Sometimes we can't believe it ourselves.
And did you influence him taking up music a bit more than if he just played the drum when he met you?
Oh, well, Bill comes from an incredibly musical family. They're all musicians. The vast majority of them would be more into kind of musical theatre and stuff like that, coming from Limerick. And Bill is a bit of a black sheep then, because he's always been into the trad, and he's an archaeologist. He just got his folklore doctorate, so we're very, very, very proud of him. Meeting Bill was great for both of us. We have our own lives and our own interests, but that they complement each other too. So,
and Fergal, what did you make of him when he arrived in Dingle, this 17-year-old fella?
From Limerick.
From Limerick, yeah. I soon discovered that Bill didn't drink, didn't smoke, had a car, spoke Irish, and was into music.
Tick, tick,
and
tick.
What more would you want? I picked him myself.
Yeah. And we're in, so Billy's from Limerick.
Yeah, yeah.
And the last song that I'd ask you to sing is Slán Li Mai, which is about leaving Limerick. Can you tell me a bit more about the story?
The song was composed by Andreas McCrae, who was one of our finest classical poets, but by all accounts a bit of a nasty character at times, and used to immortalise people in song in a bad way. So if he didn't like you, or if he had fallen out with you in some way, he might compose a song about you. And the people of the area around Croom, where he came from, became very upset at this, and the parish priest banished him. And so he composed this song. I think he got very sorry then for everything. He composed this song called Slán Le Maig, Farewell to Maig, which is the river, and sings about, you hear in the song, singing about how wonderful the people are, how generous, how kind, how noble, how beautiful, you know. But it was too late and he was banished anyway. And for me, this song became a lovely song to sing when we ourselves were both living in Limerick and then when we were leaving Limerick, because we became very fond of the area we were living in, Bill and I. We were both working in the university. I was teaching in the World Academy there for a long time and made some great friends, and some lovely years were spent there. And so this song reminds me of that time.
Well, thanks to you, Muireann, and to you, Fergal, for being my guest this morning, and I've really enjoyed your company. Your new album, Muireann, is of course The Small Hours, and the one before that is Daybreak, and I think they're both fabulous albums.
Thank you.
Thanks to Tommy Mitchell on sound here in Ballynagall. The researcher is Dara Philpott, and this programme was produced by Eileen Hearn. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join me again at the same time next week. And to close today's programme, accompanied on guitar by Gerry Byrne, Muireann Cowley is going to sing us Slán Le Maith.
Oh, Slán is kept on the shore, cause mine the grave, the grave, the storm, the shed, the sun, the sun.
Evening and Company on RTE Radio 1. Podcast the show at rte.ie/radio player.